Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is the part of the show where we thank you, the ice cream truck drivers. Thank you, ice cream truck drivers. If you want to be an ice cream truck driver, preachingfun.com is where you can go to sign up to be an ice cream truck driver. I don't have a new list yet. It's not in front of me, and it's a new month. But thank you to each and every person that is an ice cream truck driver and delivers that fucking ice cream straight to your fucking ear holes.
I also thank you.
Yeah. Preachingfun.com. Go sign up to be an ice cream truck driver, and who knows? The life you save. Maybe your own.
Paul don't give a shit.
No.
Could be.
Here's a show.
Hey,
or
Johnny.
A program if you're nasty.
Do you want to go to an ice cream social?
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great, let's go.
Paul, I know all of Ice Cream Social wants to know what you think of The Rock's heel turn heading into WrestleMania.
What?
Inevitable. That's what it is.
Jacob, inevitable. You don't know about this?
No.
Oh, well.
We got right. Okay, then.
It's time for Matt Mattingly's Ice Cream Social. Sitting across from Pittsburgh is Paul Mattingly.
Across from me, that's Mr. Matt Donnelly.
On the knobs and dials, Jacob, the audio guy.
We're preaching fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Jacob, The Rock has returned to the WWE.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is wrestling again.
And because my sports podcast network insists on covering wrestling, I am once again all up to speed.
I finally figured out maybe 6 months ago how to get Bleacher Report to stop sending me notifications about professional wrestling. It's been sending me notifications like it's a sport for years, and I finally figured out how to get rid of that.
The only way to really get rid of it is to make it not a sport, but it is a sport, my friend.
It is
punchy
not.
Ballet.
So, punchy ballet.
Yeah, punchy ballet, acceptable. Sport,
so, Matt,
no.
I'm interested in how far back they went. Did they talk about the beginning of his return like a couple months ago?
They just started covering the hyping of WrestleMania and all that.
This is 40. It's a big time.
This is the first. It's WrestleMania 40. It's the first big press push post of Vince McMahon's terrible behavior coming to light.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So this is their first time trying to get out in front of their
most time they've been public about things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. All of it's crazy right now. The WWE is in a weird place. So is AEW though. They're all
so
weird.
There are two different wrestling leagues: WWE and AEW. And they recently
those are the two big
maybe stole's the wrong word, but they acquired controversially Cody Rhodes from AEW.
Oh, they didn't steal him.
Okay.
No.
No, Matt, they didn't steal him.
No. So,
but Cody Rhodes,
they married him.
Is a son of Dusty Rhodes?
Yes.
Related to Dusty Rhodes.
He is son of Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, okay.
He's the son of the son of a plumber. He is
the grandson of a plumber.
No, son of the son of a plumber because Dusty was the son of a plumber.
So how's grandson of a plumber inaccurate?
Sure. You guys keep saying the same things and correcting each other. I think that's what's going to...
telling you how he presents
the audience
himself.
Is already psyched that we're leading off with wrestling.
Telling you how he presents himself. His brother, also incredibly talented, Dustin Rhodes.
Yes.
Dustin, of course, Gold Dust.
Stayed at AEW, right?
His big fame. Dustin is still at AEW, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
See, I'm all up to speed.
You know what's up.
I've met him.
I've met Goldust a few times. He's come to Absinthe several times.
Oh, yeah.
He's always delightful.
Yeah, the Rhodes family, solid people, salt of the earth.
All right.
So the Cody Rhodes come over to WWE, and now all of a sudden he's on this trajectory.
Okay.
And everyone is psyched because he's going
to
have his moment.
Finish his story.
Old school wrestling.
He's going to die after this match.
So Dusty Rhodes never got to be champion.
Okay.
They took the belt off my daddy at the Garden. That was just not right. That's what they did. They took my daddy's belt. God damn it. It's a tragedy, a travesty, it's a miscarriage of justice, daddy. I'm telling you what.
So now Cody Rhodes is going to basically, avenge his dad's legacy.
Winning the championship for his dad.
And everything's on that trajectory, and then The Rock gets bored, I guess, or just like decided he didn't have enough money.
The Rock gets put on the board, more specifically.
He's an actual, like in real life, a board member?
He is a TKO. He's basically, because of the McMahon stuff, has usurped that position in a way. And he is now like almost head honcho in a lot of ways with TKO. Yeah.
So now, actually, though, he's actually almost head honcho. Not just on camera, you mean?
No. He's legit, placed his daughter in a very strong position of power with NXT, which is their side brand.
Okay,
and she holds all up the ring.
Stuff
very
like
strong
that.
Position
very
of power.
Strong position.
Very strong.
They call her the cornerstone. She keeps buildings from falling over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Honey,
he's the rock. She's
I'm gonna
the
go
stone.
Get dinner.
She's the
ring up.
She's the pebble.
Don't you drop it. Don't you do it.
So now,
but he's not making any friends with that either.
Hardcores are anxious.
Uh-huh.
Is Cody Rhodes' trajectory going to be derailed by this new rock infusion back into WWE?
It's already been in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about it. But there's been all kind of weird shit going on because CM Punk came back to WWE.
Not as weird
too.
As when Vince was there.
That's a fucking fact.
Different weird.
Terrible.
No one's shitting on each other or telling anyone to shit on each other. That's an improvement in work morale.
Nobody's shitting on each other or telling you to shit on each other.
Not that we
How
know
How do they
of.
Get through their business? How do they do their day-to-day work?
I mean, that is a typical board meeting is, you stand up and be like, proposal? Fat Duke on Joe there. Gonna totally.
I also have a proposal.
I say
we get rid of this conference table and we replace it with a glass top coffee table for reasons.
Motion passes, as does my BM movement. He's gross. He's a real gross fucker. But it's crazy now. He's blurred out of everything, like in the video games and the old.
Oh wow!
And the old stuff. I'm glad I've got my giant stack of WWE DVDs because a lot of stuff. The old WWE logo, the WWF logo, got blurred out on tons of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Now his very face is being blurred out. It's bizarre. It looks so. It looks so shitty. And Brock Lesnar's in the same boat. They're doing the same thing to try and erase him. They're turning him to. He's the new Benoit. So it's fucking
he's a ball?
Weird. Yeah, he's the new Benoit ball.
He's the new ass ball.
Okay.
He's the new ass ball.
Good for him.
But so Cody was one of the founders of AEW in a sense.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And he kind of saw the writing on the wall. He got the fuck out at the right time.
Oh, really?
Yes. He got the fuck out at the right time because everything else went to shit. Punk went there because he made skillions of dollars for 12 fights overall. I think he was in the ring maybe 18 times tops, if that.
Okay.
But Punk was there for a little bit, and
who holds up AEW's ring? Because The Rock's daughter's over at WWE.
It's just Lucy Goosey.
I think
Lucy Goosey.
If you look under there,
oh sweet girl, your parents hated you.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they named you Lucy Goosey.
Most of the time,
Admiral
I'm not
Goosey.
Sure. It could be Lucy Goosey
in the wrestling world.
It could be Lucy Goosey. It's actually
her dad actually inspired the character in Top Gun.
AEW rings Goosey.
Admiral Goose,
the guy who spills his coffee when the planes fly
That's
by.
That's it.
AEW rings are all supported by stacks of Tony Khan's $1,000 bills. If you just look under the ring apron, it's just stacks of, like, you know, most people put a book or something under a wobbly table. He just uses stacks of $1,000 bills because he's got insane money. His dad, Shad, keeps just pouring money into it. It's pretty amazing.
Get me one of those dads.
Get a dad who owns the Tennessee Jaguars or whatever.
I was wrong about
Tennessee Jaguars.
That's it.
Are they? Are they the North Carolina Jaguars?
We got wrestling down to a T. the most popular sport in the world. Swing and a miss.
I don't know. I don't know football.
Jacksonville.
Sir. I give a shit.
The Paris of Florida.
I give a shit. So, yeah.
I was wrong about me fixing Bleacher Report.
You got a wrestling notification?
Yep.
It's because we're talking about it.
Maybe. It's about Cody Rhodes.
What happened?
Cody Rhodes' tour bus caught fire. Rhodes tweets that everyone is safe and
okay. Good.
I suspect the cons and the roads that are associated with AEW for the source of the fire.
Yep.
This is just because his career is so hot, guys.
That's got to be it.
That's what it is. He is just cooking with gas.
Cody Rhodes safe and okay after tour bus caught fire ahead of WrestleMania 40.
So what you were talking about, Matt.
Yes.
Cody's experienced great success since he came back to the WWE about 2 years ago, over 2 years ago, and was heading for WrestleMania main eventing. Punk was going to be involved in it too, not necessarily against Cody, but he was going to be one of the, they do a two, it's a two-nighter now, you know, so it's like double.
Right,
headlines.
A Friday night main event and a Saturday
Wait,
main
what?
Event.
What?
Yep.
WrestleMania is
like seven, eight hours now.
They've done it before to mixed success.
I was going to say, how can they possibly make that good?
It's not very good. None of it's really any good.
The world makes sense again.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But it's popular as hell. It's more popular than it's ever been, and it's just talking at this point, basically. It's straight soap opera.
Okay.
But when The Rock came back, right in the middle of Cody's meteoric rise.
When The Rock came back the very next day.
He wouldn't stay away.
Day.
Yeah. They thought he was a goner. But no. When Rock came back, it was weird.
We thought he was Black Adam, but The Rock came back.
Well, you're right on that one, Jacob, because people know that he fucked up the DCU. Like, seriously?
He did not.
No. He
didn't help anything, but the DCU was fucked up.
Agreed. The DCU wasn't great, but he really... I mean,
that's like saying he fucked up the Circus Casino.
That's right.
No, there's something to it.
He
walked in and vomited in the atrium.
If I came in as a larger than life celebrity and said, "Hey, Kevin Feige, I got an idea. I'd like to portray Dr. Doom as a completely sympathetic hero figure." Mm-hmm. They'd be like, I don't think that's the trajectory of the character for the past 60 fucking years. They'd be
right.
Like, you know what? I don't care what you say. Dr. Doom is going to be a sympathetic hero.
Now, for those of you wondering,
eat shit.
Somewhere on our Patreon is where you can watch Black Adam along with Paul. You can press play.
Right.
And you can
that
hate
was an
watch,
experience.
You can hate watch Black
that
Adam
movie
with Paul
is so shit.
By pressing play.
I was
on
not
your
ready for how
there.
Bad that movie. It's movie is garbage.
If you had watched any of the other DC movies, you would have been ready for how shitty it is.
Somewhat.
My son,
is it as bad as any of the others?
It's worse.
My son really pushed me to watch Black Adam with him, and it was
because
his first superhero movie that he was like, "Oh, this is weird.
It's not good. It's not good
he's
in the least."
Sad.
He's just out on it.
Like
he's
I
never
said,
been out on any superhero.
Has he watched any of the other DC ones? Like, did he watch versus Superman and stuff like that?
No, he watched Flash. He really liked Flash.
Okay. Yeah, well, but Flash was pretty good.
He took, it's secretly a Batman movie. Which
that's
is,
right.
That's
awesome.
Exactly
But, like, Batman
it.
Versus Superman, stuff like that, I was like, this is... Like, the DC Universe is bad.
I'm waiting until he turns 11, and we're going to watch 1992 Batman together.
Yeah.
Michael
nice.
Keaton, OG.
But it's bad, Jacob, because...
Is that how old you were?
I don't know. It feels weird to have him watch it now, where there's a whole big acid scene and the big, like, weird surgery scene and stuff.
Yeah, all right.
I'm just waiting.
That's
He's
fine.
Ready. He's trying to convince me to watch rated R movies.
Because he was
he was like, "Hey, I want to watch because 8 Mile. He loves Eminem rap. So
yeah,
I want to watch 8 Mile." And I go, "What rate is 8 Mile?" He goes, "R." And I was like, "Well, he goes, it's only rated R because of
swears,
sex stuff, and swears." And I go, "Well, that's enough of a reason for me to say no."
You know what? You're right.
That's I'm going to go ahead and listen to that warning.
Uh-huh.
And put the kibosh on this.
I mean, it's been a while since I've seen 8 Mile. I think I saw it in the theaters. I don't think I've seen it again since then. I remember enjoying it.
Yeah.
And I just off the top of my head, I feel like your kid can handle it.
But then he's going to say, whatever happened to, was the girl who's in it? Bridget?
Oh, no. From King of the Hill.
Oh, Brittany Murphy.
Brittany. Yeah. Brittany Murphy.
Yeah, she had
I'm
going
to have to tell him that story.
Untimely demise.
Sad. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're not ready to talk to him about the Hollywood cabals that sacrifice their starlets at an alarming rate at this point? You're not ready to get into that conversation at 10?
You're not ready to have that talk yet, Matt?
exactly. No is the answer.
You're not ready to have
here's
the cabal
the thing,
talk.
Son. Paramount
one of my babysitters decided to
mountain,
have a conversation.
See that Paramount Mountain? That mountain is filled with bodies. That's all that is. That's just body after body.
Your Matt Donnelly impression is so good.
Judy Garland all the way down. It's all just stacks and stacks of dead people.
Oh, I talked to him about Judy Garland all the time.
Oh, okay. You got that. Yeah. Well, right. I know he's Eliza head, so you had to have that convo at some point.
Yeah.
He can't get enough Liza. you know what? Yeah. I honestly would not be surprised if your son was Eliza head with the mother he has.
I know. There'll be a phase at least.
Yeah. Exactly.
There'll be a phase.
Exactly.
He's not right now. It's a coming.
But Jacob, you're right in that those movies, they got pieces wrong in such crazy ways. And just like Matt, you were talking about how it was a Batman movie for The Flash.
Wait, your name's Martha too?
Right. Now that's terrible too. But it could have been like Dr. Fate was introduced in Shazam of all things. And like that's a really cool character, but they just kind of farted it out and also with Black Adam, he has to be fighting Shazam.
Right.
Like it doesn't make any sense without Shazam, and Shazam's not even hardly mentioned. I think he says Shazam because he also says Shazam to turn into Black Adam, and he had to say it all cool. He's like, Shazam. I don't want to say Shazam, but I'll do it. Shazam. It's like, dude, just fucking get over yourself. But anyway, when he came into the WWE, he's carrying that baggage, which is as a wrestling / comic book crossover nerd myself, we are not, we are Legion. So we know that shit, but then also, he was coming off fresh off the heels of that Oprah, Hawaii bullshit.
Wait, what's the, I don't know about the Oprah Hawaii bullshit.
Yes. So Oprah and he went on, national TV with a plea for, donations to help after the Hawaii fires.
Okay.
And it turned out that they weren't going to donate any of their own money.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And people were like, a fuck are you a billionaires?
Okay.
So that became another, and that was a legit sticking point for him coming back.
I'm never comfortable telling people like they have to donate to charity though. Like
nobody said they had to,
but they're already doing a thing. They're already like trying to rally people together to do. I mean, I don't. That seems.
I agree.
That
with
seems
you.
A little churlish.
It seems dumb. But I do. But it, when you're dealing with PR, it's all optics anyway.
That's it.
Yeah, well, it's like the Kellogg's guy
the
saying
lost
eat cereal.
An
you know.
Battle
yeah,
that.
He lost right. a bunch of optics. You know, whether or not it makes sense or it's how do people interpret what you're saying. But also, if you're going to come out there and say, "Hey, I'm starting a charity for dogs. Everybody but me donate to it." What you know?
But I mean, I don't know. That seems a little stretch to be pissed off at.
There was other stuff involved there, but that was
okay.
a not insignificant part of it. And then also, on top of all of it, he's coming in and stepping on Cody Rhodes' dick, and legit, the fans were booing him.
Okay.
They were straight up booing him.
Also, that's why he was a bad guy.
Exactly. He was forced.
Oh, okay.
He was forced to go bad guy. And now that he's turned full heel and embraced that, he's getting more cheers than he ever did.
Right.
The people are loving it
because he's an asshole. And deep down, he's a jerk anyway. You know what I mean?
It's always more fun to be the bad guy. Like bad guy wrestler, that's the fun part.
I wish you could have told him that when he was applying to become Shazam's arch nemesis, Black Adam. and told him, hey, it's more fun to be the bad guy. You can be a bad guy. I'll be honest with you.
I'll be very honest with you right now. I did. I said, Dwayne, and he still said, more fun to be the bad guy.
No, I want to go save.
He said, no,
save.
Jacob, I'm going to do it this way. And I said, Dwayne, come on, do it this way. And he's like, no, Jacob, I'm going to do it this way over here.
Oh, wait, he just didn't listen to reason.
My rock impression isn't great.
I don't know. It sounds pretty soft. It sounds more Nation of Domination rock. You know, it's a little more of a throwback.
Oh, yeah.
It's not bad. Yeah.
That's what I was going for. Thank you for noticing.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
You guys.
You mixed in a little Farouk there, so that's okay.
You guys, I'm worried.
Uh-oh.
Don't be worried.
No, for some reason, there's a curse on this podcast.
Uh-huh.
And we're only allowed to have 5 working hips.
Oh, no.
Yep, that's the rule.
What's happening?
Fucking A. So I'm walking.
Oh,
I'm doing like a morning walk before RJ and Reddy come over to my house to record Abracababble.
Uh-huh.
As I'm coming up the street, RJ parks in front of my house.
Uh-huh.
There's a basketball hoop. I have a little portable, you know, movable basketball hoop there. And so I wait for RJ to get his attention as I'm walking up, and I start doing joking finger bang gun motions to RJ.
Great.
Dodging back and forth around my basketball hoop. And I step awkwardly. And my left hip just, I hear pop, just pop. And I was like, what the fuck? Did I just injure myself doing a finger gun bit with RJ Owens?
Yep.
Walking. The feet was walking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I am in a tremendous amount of pain.
Now, sounds to me.
By clapping off beat, I'm trying to.
You may be in a fortunate situation, Matt, because I say fortunate, not, you know, that sounds
because
like
there's a hospital in Pittsburgh that has a barely used hip that you can just have.
No, you can't have. You don't. That thing turned to dust. I got
lightly
the X-rays.
Used.
I got to show you guys the fucking X-rays.
Not now, you don't.
Not right now, but I'll.
You gotta put them up on something.
I guess
send
I should.
So we can put them on Patreon.
I should. Yeah. Okay. I'll send them to you guys so we can put them on Patreon. But holy fuck, I think it might be your bursa sac if you heard a pop.
What? So what happens if I pop a bursa sac, Paul, medical expert?
So that is what keeps your jellies and juices in nice equilibrium and keeps things lubricated in that zone.
Oh, so without that, you can't make a decent sandwich.
No.
Okay.
A hip
it's
just
the
isn't a hip without
the, body.
The Miracle Whip Bursa Sack. But that was the first approach when I came in for hip pain years ago was they thought, okay, maybe it's a Bursa Sack and they could do an injection into there to try and remedy it with some cortisone and whatnot. And that
does a Bursa Sack grow back or what's a Bursa Sack gone?
I think it can heal and refill. But it's still not
great.
From
what I remember about it, it'll get better.
Yeah, it's still not a great thing that you pop that. If that's exactly what happened,
no.
It could have been a lot of things.
No, let's assume you're just 100% correct.
Yeah.
But I was trying, so going up and down stairs was not a problem. It's just walking forward, like in a larger stride.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do it on my
Oh, that's
left
happened to
leg.
Me before. That gets better.
I don't think so, guys. I think this is over. Yeah. I think it's over for me.
You think you're dying?
So I kept walking on
fatal.
It to try to keep it loose.
Uh-huh.
While my kid was at soccer practice and stuff. But then I had to note
that the coach was like, you got to sit down. You're distracting everyone.
I had to note the Penn and Teller show last night.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I sat in that seat for an hour and a half.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I went to go to the monkey room and I was like, I cannot fucking move.
Yeah.
I cannot move my legs.
If you're limping worse than me, come Scoop Fest, it's gonna be a fucking scene. People are gonna
be hilarious.
It'll just be funny.
I mean, it's a bit in a way.
Well,
yeah.
Right now it's not like I'm not having, I don't know, like the busiest week of ever.
Right.
So like I'm really worried. I'm about to drive for 4.5 hours to San Diego.
Right.
That to unload my stuff from a busy street
in
downtown San Diego into the theater.
Oh dude.
They don't have like a back access thing. And then getting out of my car after 4.5 hours to load in and then do a show seems like I'm going to be in a world of pain.
Yeah,
I have nothing but empathy for you, my friend. I'm so sorry. That was my life of moving, unloading all kinds of boxes of stuff and getting everything set. It was just constantly up and down those stairs and just ache.
Get you some 800 milligram ibuprofens.
So
go to town.
Well, that'll do it too. If those painkillers are working, that can mean a lot of difference too. Because like painkillers weren't doing anything for me.
I've just been eating peyote. Is that supposed to be? Is that
also fine?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
Been doing a lot of DMT and peyote. To
yeah.
Treat it. And
eat a lot of peyote.
A lot of driving.
Scream Shazam to the air, and you'll be fine.
So then I go to dinner with the fam before Penn and Teller.
Mm. Uh huh.
And my kid is. His greatest weakness, you know, like Indiana Jones was afraid of snakes.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. His own teeth really fuck him up. If he has a loose tooth.
Like father, like son.
He really mm-hmm. does. He's such a brave guy.
Matt does not like teeth.
His teeth, he was flipping out. And so like his loose tooth just takes over dinner. It just becomes the crisis that we're addressing the entire time. Right. And we're trying to convince him to take his tooth out.
Just yank.
This is important. I need you guys' input on this here. So I open my wallet. I take out $10.
Okay. All
right.
And I go, and then I go over to the bar and I get those little napkins and I go, take your own tooth out and I'll give you $10 right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he like really
wants that $10.
Really mulls it over because he was really.
This is the youngest son, right?
No, it was my oldest.
Oh, this is older. Okay.
I know, right? That's the thing. It was my oldest. It's strange. He's
okay.
Very. Like on top of it, like wants to live on his own already, really on top of stuff.
He could use that $10 for his apartment.
And yeah, no, my youngest doesn't understand money. He only understands Roblox gift cards.
Oh, fair enough.
So I get up the $10. We go back and forth. He finally just can't do it.
Okay.
And I got to go. I got to go to the show.
Yeah.
So I go to the show, can't really walk, come home. And basically, I'm hobbling around, and just to make sure I'm not crazy, I turn to my wife and be like, is there any kind of bruising? And I pull my underwear down to my hip.
Oh, yeah. No.
And then in walks my son at, like, close to midnight.
Yeah.
And I quickly go, my hip hurts, and mommy's trying to look at it to make sure there's no bruising. Which is like, what? Am I trying to like just so awkward?
Yeah,
and it's all truth. Yeah. But like, what?
Yep.
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
Well, that's you've great. Just given your son a hip fetish,
or whatever the opposite of a hip fetish is.
Yeah, fear.
Yeah,
repulsion.
I'm sorry, hon. I can't get it hard unless you've got osteoporosis. Just not happening for me. If you had some serious denigration in your joints, then I'm rocking and rolling. But
pop my bursa sack, let's go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Daddy needs some injuries before he can cook it.
So then the tooth crisis continues.
Oh no,
tooth crisis 2024.
Watch.
He can't go to sleep because his loose tooth.
Okay.
Finally, my wife convinces him to let her try.
Oh, okay.
She, no problem.
Pops it right out.
Out goes the baby tooth. Then about after he recovers from the freaking out because his gum's still bleeding and everything
of
else.
Of course,
right?
Yeah.
Yep. After he calms down, he turns to me and says, Dad, you owe me $10.
Oh, no, no, no.
Okay, that's my question. This is my question to you and the podcast audience. I was pretty sure that mine was a restaurant-only offer.
Even not restaurant-only, self-detuting.
Yeah, I think the $10 was for self-reliance.
I think not
for mom pulling the tooth.
Give your wife that $10 right in front of him while you have your pants
Sarah
down.
Sarah the $10.
And that will continue and complete the fetish circle. Then he will have to tear out his own teeth before he can fuck, and that'll be perfect.
It will be perfect.
Then he's gonna be like, "How much for adult teeth?"
Yeah,
yeah.
Can I get like a dollar for my eyebrows or something?
Yeah.
I just rip my eyebrows out.
Yeah,
hilarious. No, I think you give that $10 to Sarah.
That's it. That's how to wrap it up.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, that's mommy's $10.
Yeah, that's mommy's
$10.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. She pulled the tooth.
That $10 goes to whoever pulls the tooth.
He's gonna FaceTime me tonight. He's gonna be like, where would you leave $10 behind? Did you
gotta tell him.
$10 you know, behind.
No, I left $10 on the table for mommy for services rendered with toothing.
It's on the dresser.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who else left money for Matt's wife on the dresser. And that's the following sponsor.
Dick Pic Touch-Ups by Maddie from Scooper Neon Black 2023. Dick Pic Touch-Ups by Maddie.
There was a time when you could go to your local mall and receive a wonderful set of glamour shots. You could go to your Sears Portrait Center and receive all the images you could ever want. 5x10s, 3x4s, and a packet of wallet sizes. But now it's hard. It's hard to get good pics, especially touched up ones, especially of your wiener. So come on over to our Touch Up Dick Pic Center. Bring your nastiest looking dick pic. You got some kind of bent at 80 degrees, flipping out with hair growing in the wrong place, discolorate. We don't care. Bring it to us. You got a bunch of from under cheese just hanging off that thing like you haven't touched it with a fine tooth comb in a week. Bring it over here. We're going to touch that up. We're going to make your dick look so super shiny and slick. You won't recognize
thank
it.
I got this girl trying to text me at work, and I work in a coal mine, and mine's all covered in soot, but I want to keep the conversation going.
Well, we've got a package deal for you. We run specials all year long, including our holiday specials, and your coal-covered wiener will be perfect as we disguise it as Old Saint Dick coming down the chimney and getting a little dusting of coal as he drops off presents. The sack becomes the sack. You understand, Jack? That's right. We're going to make you a Santa cock, and it's going to be a perfect present for her in her inbox.
Here goes my nutsack, click, 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 down from the chimney, Old Saint Dick.
I will say this much, if your nutsack is clicking, consult a physician.
Enter Hay Scoops at checkout.
It's just his bursa sack popped.
Oh, yeah. Okay, then he's fine. Now, I was going to say, you can tell your son that the $10 goes to Sarah because she's really good at no teeth.
Glad you wrapped back around for that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it was worth it, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, good.
That ad that we just played reminded me, SJ and I were watching RuPaul's Drag Race the other day.
Okay.
And we have a couple of friends on this season of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
And one of them is, he's one of the dancers in the Drag Race live show here in Vegas. Uh-huh. And so they had some of the dancers on the television show the other day, and they dragged them up. They put all of the dancers in drag. They had the drag queens on the show, put them all up in drag. And, you know, that's the competition, is who can make somebody else into the best drag queen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, one of the drag queens on there was talking about tucking.
Uh-huh.
You're familiar with tucking, yes?
Tuck Everlasting, yes. One of my favorite books.
He's a kicker for the Baltimore Ravens.
To hit field goals for the Ravens is tucking.
Never read Tuck Everlasting.
Yeah,
nope.
that it's all about this guy who tucks and then never undoes it, and then he has to go to a special dick touch-up place because the Fremunda cheese gets serious.
Oh, yeah.
Is it the Pete Seeger song, Old Dan Tucker, you're talking about?
That's it. Yep. Now, how's that song go?
Get out the way, Old Dan Tucker. You're too late to get your supper.
Yep, that's it. That's what I'm talking about.
You know that song.
Tuck's so tucking medicated is pants.
Tucking is the art of concealing your cock and balls.
Tucking your penis backwards,
yeah,
so that you don't present your male genitalia.
If that's anyone right. has seen Silence of the Lambs, Buffalo Bill,
that's
expert
right,
expert Tucker.
Well, I believe that the experts would disagree with calling him an expert. Because he's just tucking his old cock and balls back behind
right.
his legs.
He's not
and
using any
closed.
Mechanical attachments to make it a more permanent thing.
Right. So the queens on the show, they are all discussing different methods of tucking. One of them talked, and they all sounded horrific, by the way. They all, oh. I was like, these people are more than I expected.
Right. No, that's the thing. I just, like, I actually am curious.
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to, I mean, I'm asking for a friend.
Fair enough. How much can I get for this tooth? So one of the queens was like, oh yeah, you wrap your penis in tape. You use whatever type of tape
slower,
they're using.
Slower, Jacob, slower.
masking
you
tape.
You wrap your
gaffer's tape
in
electrical tape.
Look at me. Don't look at me. Look at me.
Okay, look at me. So you wrap it in tape.
Now wait,
and
like a mummy?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So all the way up the pole?
Yeah, so you wrap the whole dick up in tape, and then you continue to wrap and get the balls in there as well. So now you have like a full mummy with your dick and balls.
Wow.
And then you pull the whole thing back between your ass cheeks, and that's the tuck. That was one of the methods.
Yeah.
That was less.
What if your penis won't reach your asshole? What if it just can't possibly breach the taint?
Impossible. Such a penis could not exist.
For a friend.
I believe you have an easier time. I think that's the answer to that.
It's just that I have an incredibly long taint. Me and Derek Jeter.
That's right. He's known for it. Mr.
Taint
Basement.
Is halfway up my back.
It's like my favorite Broadway show, Taint Misbehaving.
Mummifying and then going back.
Yeah, so mummify the penis and then catch the balls in there too. So you mummify the penis and balls all with like one really long piece of tape.
Okay.
And then
piece of tape. Okay.
Yes. And then tape the whole thing back underneath. That was one of the more pleasant versions that they described.
Okay.
Now, are these self-applied things, or is there somebody that does?
Oh no! These cats are all like they're doing like drag circuits and drag shows.
Some NASCAR pit crew just fucking
coming in with a hydraulic taper.
Zing! 22 seconds. Go! Dance!
God. I mean, that would fit in with the drag race theme. That'd be really funny.
That's true.
Have they tried pit stop drag? That is something that he should.
I mean, they already called the boys on the show the pit crew.
Okay.
Right,
so
but I mean,
they're already halfway there.
Like, they could do like a how fast can you go into drag, and you have to go from station to station.
They do little things like that already, but they don't do the race car theme. They don't keep the race car theme going throughout.
Funny.
Three cis hetero white dude podcasts are going to innovate the drag world.
That's right.
Innovate the drag world
by adding more NASCAR to it.
How would three middle-aged dudes change drag at NASCAR?
Oh, man. Side note, we'll get back to drag. I went to pick up my dry cleaning, and once in a while, I also dry clean my Hooters jacket that I use in my show.
Your straightest jacket.
A NASCAR jacket.
I get the tux, you know, whatever, and so I know this dry cleaner all the time, but I'm generally a curmudgeon, right? I just go in, I say the bare minimum I pay, I leave. I don't ever make too much small talk.
Yep.
So she's putting up the stuff that I've gotten cleaned.
Sure.
With the Hooters jacket. And she goes, oh, that's a really fun Hooters jacket you got there. And I go, oh, well, I'm a touring magician.
Uh-huh.
She goes, really? I go, yeah. And you heard of the straight jacket escape? She goes, yeah. I go, well, I use that as my straightest jacket escape. And she looked at me like, what?
Yeah, like you grew a third eyeball. She didn't get it at all.
What? Not at all.
I love this. I love people having things explained to them with zero context at all, and watch people try to understand it.
And I go, you know, magicians sometimes are safe from a straitjacket. Oh no, I've seen those. And she jokes, I have a few of those for myself at home.
Because I'm crazy.
We joke, you and I.
Yeah.
And I go, right. So I say, instead of escaping from one of those, I'll step it up and I'll do escape from the straightest jacket. And I put that on. She goes, ha.
Oh,
stone faced.
Oh my god, you went back.
I tried to, like, just, you know, I see this person all the time. And I'm out on a limb. I was just a curmudgeon day in and day out. And now I'm letting this person know who I am and
now
what I do.
She has complimented your jacket.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you both want to explain your career to her and explain why you own a Hooters jacket.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want credit for owning that jacket outright.
Right.
I don't want, like,
that's the
thing.
Like,
I have excellent taste.
Yeah. she thinks you do, I mean, right? Like, she complimented it. She clearly, you wouldn't go, oh, Here's your new cardigan sweater, Mr. Jones. What a wonderful, ironic fashion choice as you hand it back to him, right? Like, you would never say that. So she can't possibly.
Paul, I think you're mistaken on this one. I think that she was making that comment.
No.
And I think she was being polite about it.
No.
And I think I believe she was curious as to why someone owned a NASCAR Hooters jacket.
No, I think
and
she
was getting it dry cleaned.
I think she knew exactly why.
I thought initially Jacob was right, and I left thinking that Paul is right.
Okay.
That I was like, she just didn't give a shit about any of the humor at all.
No, she didn't understand.
And now I regret telling this person what I do for a living. Now I hate that she knows anything about me. I want to go back.
Yeah, because if you don't produce dubs.
I wish I had one of those lasers. I could just be like, bzz, never mind.
Yeah,
I'm just a weirdo that comes in and gets her tuxedo cleaned.
I think you got to double down. I think you got to keep on explaining to this person what you do for a living. I think you need to take some card tricks in next time.
Next time I come in, no, I'm bringing in the chair.
Yeah.
I'm bringing in the purple hoop.
Yeah.
I'm bringing in the shackles. We're just going to do it from the
Bring
top.
Bring some assistance.
So I would like to suggest, Matt, drag alternate identity for you. I, of course, go by Rachel Epithet. I think that you can wear your NASCAR jacket, carry a little speaker with you, playing Love at First Sight, and you can be known as Kylie Petty.
All right.
Nice.
All right.
I'll do that. Or I can just go Dick Trickle. No, not that one.
Right.
Dick Trickle. No, not that one.
Dick Trickle Jr.
Dick Trickle. No relation.
Yeah.
I will have to go back and tuck it, Jacob. How would I tuck it?
Well, one of the more upsetting ways to tuck it.
So this is Mummy's done. Next
Mummy's
method.
Done. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is a different, and this is a professional drag queen. So this person does this often.
Yeah.
They said you take your testicles and you kind of in a squat position, you cause your testicles to reascend into your body. So you push.
You scare yourself.
You push your testicles
your right nut
up
in,
into
you
yourself.
You put your right nut out. You put your right nut in and you shake it all about.
You put your right nut in and you keep it there.
Yeah. You put your left nut in. You keep that there, too.
You keep it there.
Yeah. And we were watching that, and SJ kind of looks at me and goes, "How? What do you think about that?" Like, I'm very uncomfortable. I'm very uncomfortable just thinking about that. Because, yeah, they were talking about putting the testicles back inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And like, kind of forcing them up there. And then holding them there.
Ascension.
Which I was like, that is a fucking dedication to a craft.
And no applying tape or whatever? You
no, there's still tape and everything afterwards.
Okay. I was like, you're just doing some kind of weird male testicle kegel the whole time?
But yes. Now, that's kind of the bottom line, is you are doing a male testicle kegel.
That's tough.
Yeah. And then all you have to deal with then, is the penis.
Right.
Then you just tuck that sucker back.
All right. Good to go. All right. Were there any other methods?
Those were the two that I remember. I think there was one other that kind of got discussed a little bit. Oh, and then one of the people was like, yeah, or you can just put these, because they have like underwear with tuck pads on it, which is just like underwear with a big pad on the front. It kind of tucks everything back
its own
and then smooths it over. They were like, yeah, or you can just wear one of these.
It's like, listen, before you practice your weird reverse aging kegel,
yeah.
Maybe just wear this.
You can just do this.
Yeah,
and everyone
was
like, oh, yeah, we should just do that.
And the guy with the mummied gun was like, damn it.
I should have done that.
Fuck.
He's got a Boris Karloff fetish.
Like, remove
it. I've spent so much money on tape.
Yeah. And I mean, anything you tape, you got to untape.
Yeah.
Yep. That's going to be unpleasant.
Feature, not a bug, as far as I'm concerned.
Disagree.
That is the mummy's curse right there.
I pay someone else to remove it, and they have to ridicule me while they do it.
Like, $10. You ever made $10 the hard way?
So your friends are competing?
No, they're not competing. They're
just on.
Yeah, they made some appearances on there.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah, but I don't think we know any of the competitors this time. We've known a couple of the competitors on there.
It's going to be fun to root for someone on RuPaul's Drag Race.
It is. That is a well-made television show.
And the show is doing well.
Yes.
The live show here in Vegas.
Oh.
I thought without RuPaul that it was going to just not be a success. We're such a celebrity-driven town.
It's been crushing since before COVID. It continues to crush.
It also, again, was a very affordable ticket price compared to other Vegas shows on the Strip. And they do it right.
It's a great show, too.
Yeah.
It is a good, and I mean, to say that there aren't celebrities in the show is a little unfair.
That's true.
I mean, most of the people who are on there have been on the, or I think everybody in the show has been on the TV show as well.
And there's obviously a lot of breakout stars in the drag world. From
and
that
so they
TV
are
show.
They are certainly stars in that realm.
Yeah,
but so they're, I guess, but they're not the. They're not the widely known celebrities.
My ignorance of the drag world made me underestimate the celebrity factor.
Yeah.
That's fair to say.
Yeah, I think so. Because, okay. I mean, they are big stars in their own right.
While I'm apologizing for dumb things I've said,
uh-huh.
Lost Spirits is closing.
Yeah.
There I was talking about how it was a game changer.
Got the Matt Donnelly rub.
Down it goes.
Yep. Anything else you want to crush while we're on the air today?
Let's see. I think Chris Angel's going to be around forever.
Keep talking about Chris Angel and the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the A's decided to sign in Sacramento.
Yeah, they're going to be in the minor league ballpark in Sacramento, which I think is dumb.
Oh, yeah?
I think that's dumb for a few reasons.
Wait. For a professional baseball team to strictly temporarily?
Uh-huh.
Relocate to Sacramento in the minor league stadium?
Yep.
Go ahead. Break it down for me. Because what I just said, it could go either way.
You know what? As you said that, I was thinking about it again. I think it's the right move. Good job, A's. You know who else made the right baseball move today? And that is the following sponsor.
Today's show is brought to you by a wedding planner / deep sea trip coordinator, sometimes both at the same time. From Scoopo Crypto, and this is from April of 2022.
Hello, I am here to help you plan the most beautiful underwater enchanting wedding you could ever want. We will go and investigate the majesty of the seas while we celebrate your nuptials. You will be married.
I'm sorry, we celebrate what?
Your nuptials.
The what now?
The nuptials.
I'm sorry. I'm not understanding that.
I think he's saying eruptials.
The eruptials?
I think he's saying eruptials.
Oh, he's saying eruptials. Oh, we're going to celebrate the eruptials.
That's right.
Yes. Oh, that's nice. They need
when
celebrating.
We approach the Marianas Trench and we see the heat rising from the underwater volcanic activity, we will see the giant sea squid. We will see such creatures as the sea anemone and the cucumber. And
I'm sorry. What was that last one there?
The cucumber.
The enemy.
The sea cucumber.
Yeah, we're going to see Eric the enemy.
Eric the enemy. And a two-ton bear.
Oh, well, that's a big bear.
Yeah.
Is it swimming?
Beautiful bride who will look like a fish. And the groom will also look like a fish. And we will make you look like fish before you get married. You will have scales on your body and rub each other. Until one of you puts a bunch of roe on the ground and the other one puts a bunch of semen on the roe. We will wait until that happens before we have the cake. No cake before your roe is laid and inseminated, ensuring your species continues and the circle
of life.
How can
you eat your dessert if you don't lay your roe?
Right. That's right. Lay your row.
Is this the same submarine that went down to see the Titanic?
We have two Xbox controllers.
Oh, good.
We have redundant systems. We are not fools.
When the seat hits your row as you party below, that's amore.
Yeah.
It ain't scoops a checkout.
It is celebration.
No, the A's are, they're doing this thing, apparently, well, I was reading about it last night. They could sell more tickets at the ballpark in Sacramento than they could at the minor league ballpark in Vegas.
Right.
So,
and a lot of those fans, future fans, will be in Sacramento. They'll go from Vegas to Sacramento to watch those games.
That's right.
And then
that's
going to
happen a lot.
Vegas. That's going to...
Future fans. Boy, they're really... Talk about all your eggs in one basket. They think
about,
they got...
Talk about playing checkers when everyone else is playing chess.
Man, they got nothing going on. Who even cares about that fucking team? What a joke.
Future well, not fans. Many people. That's, this is that's
not many.
The entire problem, I believe, yeah. in several fronts.
They're going to film, you know, they're going to play major league games there, and so they'll be on TV.
Yep.
And you'll see empty stands in Sacramento. Well,
that's
like
apparently the big deal,
in
is they get to keep their Northern California TV deal. By staying in California, they don't have to change TV deals immediately.
Which is their only source of money, because yes. they're not making anything at tickets.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you got to figure they'll sell a few more tickets. Just being in a new city, they'll be kind of a novelty, I guess. But yeah, I'm like, you should just do that here and start trying to build a fan base here. This is where you want. This is where you're trying to build a stadium.
I think that's the case.
Like,
well, who is already?
I would start selling tickets here now and like, try to convince people to buy season tickets.
Who are the Aviators, though? Right? Like, who are the Aviators?
I think they're a Dodgers minor league team.
No, they're A's.
Oh, they are A's.
Yeah. Yeah, they're okay. The A's minor league team.
Are they?
They're already associated. Yes.
Well, then what the hell are they doing?
Now you see my point.
I mean, forget about it. I guess it's just that TV deal must be a sweet plum.
I guess that's it.
Or just a plum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're doing it with a plum.
Look, we could have run it better. I'm just saying that right now.
Yeah.
I normally go like, look, we don't know what it's like to do that job. That's crazy. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
I believe we would be better off.
Now, when is it going to be open? When are they going to have this thing going, they're hoping?
Oh, the trap? Any day now.
No, I mean, it's going to be like 5 years?
28. They're planning on playing in Vegas starting in the 2028 season.
So, and today.
So, they're planning 3 years-ish to build the stadium. And then ready to go at the fourth year.
She asked me, she said, you guys going to be doing Scoop Fest in 5 years? And I said, well, I hope so, but it'll be, it's on, you know, every other year.
We do it every 18 months. Yeah,
right.
We do it every
right.
year and a half.
She said, well, aim for 2029 because there's going to be an asteroid that passes so close to Earth, it's going to interfere with the orbit of a lot of satellites and probably wreck shit and make it crazy. And I was like, we've already done Scoop again when we got COVID. Why are we going to do that? I said, it's an odd year. We're not going to normally do it at that time.
Everybody wants to see your cheeseburger prophecy put to the test. Your life on Earth.
Oh, it won't take long. Bar. It won't take long. And that's already happening. I'm just getting priced out of it at this point. I didn't realize I was going to get, because that's part of it. It's got to be affordable. And that's already, that ship has sailed.
Well, it has to be a good cheeseburger and you move to doesn't Pittsburgh. That, and so that doesn't that, exist
well,
there.
Oh my God. My God, the dirt level of food in this town. I credit where credit is due. We went to Bob Evans the other day for breakfast.
Oh,
Bob Evans.
Fucking
So I drove from Indiana to Chicago and back to Indiana.
Yeah.
To fly out, actually, and then ultimately Kentucky to fly in and out of Louisville.
Yeah.
Fucking Waffle House on the way out.
Yeah.
People who live around Waffle Houses are like, what? I fucking love Waffle House.
So good.
They have
always
a
so
language
good.
They speak to each other. The food, the omelets there are the best omelets ever. And then,
the omelets are just cake.
Yeah, there's just a fluffy souffle of deliciousness. And then the cooks, they have to communicate with each other all the time, which I love.
Right.
In an era where we just keep bringing these weird fucking iPad machines to tables and making everything feel fucking horrible.
They're holding out.
They still do pieces of paper, and they literally say, when the cook is overwhelmed, he says, tells everyone to hold up.
Yeah.
And then he catches up, and then he goes, who's holding? And then they start barking orders at him again.
Yeah.
And then there's always a sassy local who harasses one of them while they're working.
Yeah.
At least they're hilarious. And I love all of it. I'm here for the show.
Yeah.
I'm here for the food and the show. I love Waffle Houses. On the way back, turns out there wasn't a lot of Waffle Houses like on the Chicago side of the highways that
were
heading back. I tried to like find
the one.
So I found a Bob Evans.
Yeah.
All right.
Man, did they make a fine breakfast.
Brother. All right. Their breakfast is top notch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like I said, Bob Evans experience. Neither
that's
one of these
my
near
Thanksgiving.
Us.
That's
no
my
Waffle
Thanksgiving
go to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
But their breakfast was top notch. We had a really good.
And Indiana, they don't teach about the passing lane of the DMV? They don't do that?
No mention of it.
Like, it's insane how many people are just comfortable just fucking putt-putting along in the passing lane,
dude.
Getting passed by everyone zooming around
them.
Yeah. And then no sense, not no emotion, no anger, no whoops, no let me turn on my turn signal and get out of this lane.
Yep.
Just, yeah, this is where I go.
Know.
This is where you go.
This might be the same thing that happens in Pittsburgh in the Pennsylvania area, because when you're driving on our roads, for the most part, a lot of them are two lanes, but they're not necessarily a passing and not passing lane exactly, because a lot of it, you just have to make left-hand turns a lot of times, and you just come to a dead stop.
Oh, okay.
In the lane. Yeah. You know, it's just a two, there's just two lanes. So there's not really a hard
streets
and fast,
that don't have a dedicated turn lane
right.
are just awful.
Shake
well,
my fist at the sky.
That's all there is out here. That's all there is out here.
Yeah, it's because like horses made those roads and then they paved them later.
You're absolutely right. These roads are
hundreds of years
old.
Should we put it in a turn lane? Nay.
There are a few turn lanes, but there's not enough turn lanes.
I'm very pleased by your horse joke.
The turn lanes are only at specific lights, not for like most businesses. That's the thing.
Right.
Like all these little side businesses.
They don't have a continuous turn lane.
Nope. And not even for most side roads. You just stop. And you turn. So passing on the right becomes the de rigueur, Matt, you know, because people just have to stop and turn. So I don't know if that's part of what does it, but yeah, it's not the driving gets weird. People don't adhere to, because it can be different on a straight up highway. It should be different on a straight up highway, especially like
a
three-laner.
I was on an interstate highway.
Yeah. But I think those old habits die hard and they don't really understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're also filled with, especially in my neighborhood, most of the roads are just simple two-laners, not even two lanes in the same thing, and speed limit is 25 to 30 miles an hour.
Right.
That's why a 12-minute drive or a 12-mile drive is a 40-minute commute a lot of times out here. Because but don't let somebody behind you know what the speed limit is, because they are in your trunk. You can be going 35 and 25. You can go in 35 and 25. They are hitching a ride. It is unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
But you went to breakfast, right? You went to Bob Evans.
This was my two week surgery checkup and my first outpatient PT.
Okay.
So everything's going really good with the new hip, building my strength back up. Did I tell you guys about the rip thing that happened the other night? I think I did.
Your quad, right?
Yeah, my quad had incredible pain. Something ripped, but it's building back better, getting stronger.
That sounds like a bursa sac.
No,
yeah,
it's
a bursa sac.
Different location.
Sounds like a bursa sac.
Different location.
The bursa sac of the quad.
The quad bursa sac.
The bursa sac of the quad. That makes sense. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
I don't know. I don't want to talk out of school on this because I don't have a lot of info. But
never
I think
that's
never even slowed us down.
I think I've mentioned before.
Why start now?
I think I've mentioned before there's a YouTube channel that I followed for a long time called Cartoonist Kayfabe.
Okay.
Which had two local Pittsburghian guys. They're Pennsylvania cartoonists. Uh-huh. And they were doing daily content for a long time. It was coming up on, I don't know, 2.5, 3 years maybe more. They'd put out lots of videos, and I was following them pretty consistently for a while. Things started to get really weird a couple weeks ago, not even like 2 weeks ago. One of the guys got caught up in some kind of texting a minor scandal.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this was a COVID time thing. It got
it
weird.
It wasn't just about his black dick that he wanted touched up?
I hope not.
Not that kind of minor?
Well, this is the thing. I don't have the details. But
I'm referencing the coal miner from the first ad.
Right. It's possible because he might have had a Pittsburgh potty.
Right.
Which is what those were designed for. So the coal miners could go downstairs, change off all their clothes, and not bring soot up into the house. That's exactly what those were for. But very sadly, so as soon as I heard all that scuttlebutt, I was like, well, I can't really follow these dudes anymore. Seems like things are not because there was an overwhelming push of like, this is bad, this is bad. And again, I don't have all the deets.
Okay.
But even the last three or four posts that they'd put up on their YouTube channel had gone extremely negative for some reason. Like the headlines were like, this thing sucks and this is why. And I was like, that's not normal content from them. I don't know what's going on. If they were, and I thought, well, maybe they're playing into the algorithm to try and, because that's what travels. Hate travels so fast and negative stuff travels much faster on the internet. The guy killed himself last week.
Oh, shit.
Just a couple days ago, because of the flack that he caught online and the fallout. So I don't know how bad it was. But yeah, Ed Piskor, cartoonist. And I, you know, I don't want to defend him in any way, but I also don't want to, you know.
It sounds like everything just sucks. Sounds like that's just a general.
Yeah, it's a very, very sad.
Everything sucks.
But I want to just say again, just for everybody, if you find yourself in those deep, dark places, please trust that another day is coming. Things can change. Things can improve. And just know how much other people are there for you. And that's the crazy thing, too, is that he had a certain community. He had a lot of close friends, cartoonists as well. But I think, I don't know what exactly happened, but it broke my heart.
First of all, one scenario is if this guy basically does have a... One scenario is that he does have a mental problem where he has a proclivity for young people.
Right.
And that could drive a suicide attempt on that alone.
Yeah,
sure.
That whole situation stuff, certainly, yes. I don't think,
I'm betting he just realized that most of his friends were cartoonists.
You're not
wrong.
If I woke up
one day and went like, most of my friends are cartoonists, I don't know what I'd do.
Look, there's a story. I mean, I'll talk about it because it's in the news. It's not widely covered in the news, which I think is interesting. But
Jeffrey Epstein? That was covered extensively.
I was going to say, actually, I guess for trigger warning's sake, sure, child sexual predator.
Yeah, right? Okay.
So local grammar school, grade school.
Oh, yes.
A guy was meeting with the student in private and saying a lot of
inappropriate
things. Hard pass, like I want to do blank, blank, and blank with you.
Not insinuating things, but just saying them.
Child.
Yeah.
Fucking hero.
Yeah.
Brought in a phone and recorded everything.
Yeah.
Recorded everything and brought it back to her parents.
Kids are, I believe this is safe to say, kids are smarter now than they used to be.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, kids are smarter than I was when I was that age.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought to do anything like that. Even if I had the technology, I wouldn't have thought to do that.
This motherfucker got caught at the border.
Yeah.
Texas-Mexico border and arrested. He was trying to flee the country.
Yeah.
The school didn't talk about it for days.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, news started breaking and everything else. And everyone going to the school going like, what the fucking fuck, right?
Yeah.
Like, who does background checks? Who's in charge? Whatever. And they're doing the whole, like, we will talk about this when the time is right. The authorities are doing their thing. And just not addressing it at all. Meanwhile, anyone who went to this child's parent was like, is this true? She's like, yep, here's the audio. Boom. Just, right. She is just sending, like, here you go. Right. Here's what you hear.
Like,
boom.
ABC is calling her. She'd be like, do you have an email address? I'll send it to you right now.
It's like, take a look. Yeah. Here it is. Take a listen. Just was like, I'm not going to wait a few days.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go ahead and let everyone know.
I'm fucking talking.
This motherfucker was this fucking gross.
Yeah.
Was this fucking blatantly gross. And it is just an awful, awful thing happening in the community over from where we're at. Fucking A, man. Like, my kids want to, like, start YouTube channels, and I'm like, I don't know.
It's so difficult, and that's just exactly it. And, you know, court of public opinion is a big thing, and I don't want to come to his defense because I don't know the situation. It could be very much a Chris Benoit
kind
of thing.
Right, so here's the thing. If it is a misunderstanding, we'll talk about this way. If it is a misunderstanding, people think the internet is, like, real life.
Right.
And, sure. And the truth is, like, you know, I made Penn laugh the other day where I go, we don't even have time to give a shit about the things we give a shit about, you know, versus like, you know, Patron. So like, you know, so we had a friend who had, he told a story and basically people took it the wrong way. And he was basically on the internet, hunted down for years ago, Paul, in the improv community, He thought his life was over.
Yeah.
He was being hounded on the internet for years. And I just told him, I was like, no one around you gives a shit.
Right.
Like, just hang out with your friends.
Yeah.
Go to work. No one there cares about this story that you
shut down your social media account.
Yeah.
This is the thing. Like, you know, and that was even years ago. Now that whole thing has been amplified so much.
Yeah.
And that is the scary thing, especially if you've made yourself a very public persona, that should something blow up in your face, it gets amplified so hard. It is hard to remember that, you know. But boy, I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing is ultimately, and even if this stuff is true, like, well, then man up and face it too, you know, face the consequences and then get to the other side of it. It's awful. It's just awful all around. I wanted to talk about it because I don't know how to feel about it.
Right.
Right. Like, what do you even, I don't know. Cause this is somebody who entertained me through the pandemic in a lot of ways, you know, and someone who I thought was an interesting creator and a creative type, but now, you know, it might be a whole other side going on there that I didn't, you know, nobody knew.
That's like, you know, you talk about having somebody that's entertained you for all that time. And then there's this twist and their personal life is brought into it. And that is upsetting for you. That reminds me of, a year or so ago, when the old host of the, what was that legal podcast that we so all listened to?
I basically was like, I'm wondering whether one of us was going
to
do
that. Yeah. No, I'm just pivoting straight to that.
Right.
But I'm pivoting to that. I'm pivoting to that kind of on the side. Whoever that lawyer was on that legal podcast.
Opening arguments.
Opening arguments.
And we worked with them on a few events.
That's right. Yeah.
We
did like some fundraising stuff with them on some stuff. And
I don't regret helping
no.
Raphael Warnock become senator.
Oh, no, no. Like we did, we worked on some good stuff with them and that was all great. And then some weird, like, sexual harassment allegations surfaced and that kind of thing.
Yes.
I don't need to get into all that. Everybody who cares about that and knows about it knows all about that. But I remember that one person, maybe a couple of people, but I remember it as one person posted something on Twitter or something like that. And it was like, man, because it had happened to a couple of shows, a couple of different people kind of seemingly back to back. Where allegations surfaced about some of their off-air behavior, and someone said, "Man, I hope the guys over. I hope like nothing like this ever comes out about any of the guys over at Ice Cream Social."
Right.
And like I remember seeing that
day is coming,
and like full body chill.
Yeah,
it's like one day that shit about Matt is going to come public.
It's possible.
Like, he offers children $10 for their teeth. Like that shit is going
to
come out
to their mom.
Only if they do it themselves.
It's very specific. But like even that, I was like, I know nothing that is going to come out about the three of us. And even with that knowledge, I'm still like, that is creepy and that's weird, and I don't like it.
Even that scenario, if you weren't on social media,
right,
or if you didn't simply follow them on social media, there are plenty of podcasts where I don't follow them on social media.
Yes.
You just had two hosts, then one host the same with a different host,
uh-huh.
And then now the other co-host is back with a different host.
Yeah.
And you have to go like, weird. And
this
that's really what
odd.
Some people did.
Right.
They're like, oh, they changed formats.
Right.
No,
because
they changed formats.
There are plenty of podcasts that I listen to that I don't follow on social media.
And the question is like, okay, you know, what we always talk about, we never can figure out a good scale for when you separate art from the artist.
No.
Right.
Right. Like,
no.
Like, but when you talk about that, what that, the joy, Paul, that show brought you, it's the same reason why people won't think differently about Michael Jackson.
Right.
Because Michael Jackson music isn't Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson music is their 80s.
Right.
My friend and I were at a bar last night, and Michael Jackson came on, and he commented about Michael Jackson. He was like, I still love this song. He fucked up some kids, and I still love this song.
That's it, right? And you, when you hear the song, you're like, oh, this is my, you know, eighth grade dance, you know, high school prom.
Yeah.
Time I went to this party. Like, you are, you are celebrating the soundtrack of your life.
Yeah.
You're not celebrating that artist.
This is that right. song that was on the day that that weird old guy gave me $10 to pull my own tooth out.
Yeah. So you're not celebrating that behavior.
I made also, $10.
Yeah. And it is a very unique time, I think, specifically right now, where celebrity is getting called into question overall, right? Like, we're becoming more and more aware of just these people aren't worth our time and energy. Like the whole Diddy scandal stuff. It's like, why are we even?
Well, that's the thing is we're delving. I think this is only my opinion. I think we are delving too deep into people's personal lives for this. And I think it's affecting our happiness when it comes to taking in that art. Like,
but wouldn't you rather know the truth? I mean, we wouldn't
not
have.
Not always, no.
I don't know.
The stuff about Diddy, I think I want to know the
truth. Well, no, not that specific one.
I can't handle the blissful ignorance on a lot of
this
stuff.
It's not that I don't need to know the truth. It's that I don't care. I don't care what these people are doing in their personal lives 90% of the time. Now, something like Diddy's extreme, Michael Jackson's extreme, like those are extreme examples.
But still,
if somebody is a shithead to people on the road, if you found out that, you know, I was about to just name a random celebrity, that would be a dumb thing to do.
Yeah.
If this random celebrity is just a shithead driver to people on the road.
Yeah, like if somebody drives
a little
Jeep,
bit of road rage or something.
They're driving their Jeep. They're clearly intoxicated. They're in a park, but it's not right? a thing.
Yep.
They're writing Reno Part 2.
But actually, that would affect me.
That is a good example. I think there's no reason at all to know about Bruce Springsteen having his balls busted by a park ranger.
That's all I mean. Is it, you know, for little things like for just the day to day people being shitheads on just a regular day to day basis. I don't need to know about all that.
No, and there is even when you want to know the truth, there's still a salacious. There's still like a guilt. There's somewhere in there. There's a guilty pleasured curiosity behind it too. Because the bottom of my line is like, should Diddy be held accountable? Absolutely.
Sure.
Should the families that he's affected be compensated? Yes.
Yep.
How much do I need to know about that? Very little.
Yeah.
But then also, if you look into that, he's just one small cog in a music industry machine thing that's going on, that there's something really crazy with that whole music industry.
What I mean to say is, like, there's a distinction between where the wheels of justice, that's a really strong term, when the courts and cops and whatever are doing their job. How much does it's one thing to like get press attention so that the cops do something.
Right.
So that people do something. That's different, you know, than the cops are already doing stuff and now I just want to know every detail.
Yeah. Like right. I've been told that this is going on. I've been told that he's being held accountable. I'm done.
Yeah.
That's enough for me.
No.
I don't need every detail.
I'm intrigued because of how it the
But that's why you think that's why you think that things like people are getting done with these celebrities. Like, I think you're speaking very much from the minority on that. I don't think that most people agree with that statement at all.
I suppose you're right.
You know, like, that may be the case for you, and it's probably the case for other people as well, but I don't think that's the case for most people. You know, most people are still taking in art. I mean,
it's one thing to take in art. It's another thing to just be obsessed with the celebrity part of it.
But that's what I mean. Like most people are very content to just watch things on their streaming services and not know anything about the actors that are portraying things on those streaming services.
Like I talk about this with the media narrative with Louis C.K.
Right.
Right. The battle I always have with Louis C.K. is that he apologized right away and said everyone was right.
Yes.
And most people don't do that. And so how do you give credit to someone?
Like apology has to count for something.
Otherwise, no one will do it.
Right,
right.
Like if anyone, honestly, what you should learn from Louis C.K. is don't say you're right and don't apologize right away and don't say you're going to go away, because that's what he did. And then everyone said, "Oh, you didn't go away long enough. You didn't go better."
Yeah.
But still, there's a huge mistake in the media narrative, which is like when he came back, he started selling out concerts, and so other people started going like, "Oh shit! So we just forgive him already? Oh, so we're done with him?" No. Those people would have bought tickets if he never went away.
Mm-hmm.
And those people just simply bought tickets when he came back, because those people didn't follow the Louis C.K. story
right.
in the paper. The people who care vehemently about that story are never going to buy a ticket to him ever again.
Correct.
Yeah.
There's just a large population that won't fucking ever read about it and don't care.
Yeah.
He's here in my town.
Like, was his bottom line affected by the whole scandal?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He lost all of his TV shows, like, lost all of his TV rights, everything else.
I can't even begin to calculate how much money he lost.
Yeah.
Right.
And, I mean, forget about prestige, forget about respect, forget about those things. Yeah. Those things are true as well.
Yeah.
But, like, just the dollars and cents, he lost large amounts of money. I have no idea how much.
And I think I think that's a big part because he had Ed Piskor, who took his own life, sadly, had a very large letter that he left that has been put out.
I think it was
there.
A G.
And
it's a really big one.
A big part of it was he was losing like a he was losing like a $75,000 contract to put out a book. And you know, because of this little scandal that was popping up. And I say little scandal, I don't know what, I don't think the details of what's going on has been fully invested or revealed.
Right.
And that's why I don't want to really, I'm trying not to talk out of school about it because I don't have the info. I don't know if anybody does the extent of what he did or did not do. And it's just so disheartening. But I think the only point I want to make is please hold on. And don't do anything rash, even if
and 911 is and 911 is a good that is an emergency number. So if you feel like you're going to hurt yourself or someone else, you can absolutely call 911. That is part of what that number is there for.
There's another number too, right?
There's the suicide hotline number. There's all those numbers as well. But I mean, if it is an emergency, if you're like I'm going to hurt myself right now,
yeah,
988.
Yeah, 988 is the suicide hotline in the U.S.
Yeah.
And if you're not in the U.S., a lot of those numbers exist in other countries as well.
You can also text 988.
Yep. But I mean, if it is an emergency, call 911. Get the first responders there. They are trained to do all that stuff as well. So
because again,
do that.
I'm not coming to his defense because I don't know enough about the situation. But I just in general want to say, as far as creatives, I know. We're all under the gun to make our art work for us. And that's a hard line to do when you're in art, that's paying your bills. That's really hard sometimes. And it gets overwhelming when it's not paying your bills. And, and I think artists have to isolate a lot of times anyway, just to work on their art. So it can be a lonely road. Just please, if you find yourself in those situations, reach out for help. Yeah.
I've got bad news about the situation that Matt and Paul are about to find themselves in here at Jock versus Nerd.
Fuck you. You're going to get taken down, son.
You want to do a little Jock versus Nerd action?
Oh, am I?
Fuck yeah.
I'm on the hunt for balls. I'm on the hunt for balls.
We got a scooperty day from Hey Scoops, Get Off My Lawn. Hello, Churners. I hope this finds Matt rested from his trip, Paul recovering from his hip, and Jacob, well, I hope he's good too. I'm sitting in my work van outside during this tornado warning. Jeez.
Wow.
So I thought I'd send you guys an email and scooperty.
I got out of the Midwest just in time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
literally,
scary,
like,
right?
A bunch of tornadoes.
We had wild weather just south of us.
Earthquake in New York and Jersey.
That's right, yeah. That happened this morning. Let's see. My wife and I just saw Matt in New Albany at J&B Magic and had a great time, despite some of the weirdos in the crowd. I mean that lovingly for most of them.
Honestly, it was my handling of weirdos that I got the most compliments for.
Oh, nice.
People were like, the magic was good, but the way you handle the audience. I had a guy.
That's amazing.
I usually go down in the purple hoop for the suit jacket, straightest jacket escape. And
dry cleaners love that bit.
The guy goes, "Oh my belly button is puckering with fear," and I just said, "Curtain down," and the curtain. I go, "What?" I got a huge laugh, and he goes, "My belly button is puckering with fear," and I go, "Man, if you really have that ability, boy, would you be popular in places that you'd never go to."
That's a great line. That's a great line. That's a great line. Boy, would you be popular in places you'd never go to.
Yep.
That's funny, man.
So I got a good reaction for that.
Yeah, you should. That's a really fucking funny line.
The categories of today's Scooperty are Matt's Magic, which is closer, 90s PlayStation, and extra parts.
All right.
Paul, you're up first. What do you want?
All right. I'm not getting the same screen. I got to...
Oh, weird. Okay. Hold on.
Please hold. Guys, that's a hold.
Curtain down.
Belly button puckering. Okay, here we go. I'm going for 90s PlayStation. Let's do 800. I'm going.
Oh, sorry. I already clicked on 200. 200 for you. All right. In this game, you play a genetically enhanced bandicoot named whose quiet life on the Wumpa Islands is often interrupted by his creator and the game's main antagonist, Dr. Neo Cortex, who attempts to eliminate you as a constant hindrance to his plots.
That is Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot is correct. It's me. I'll try. Which is closer for 200? Which is closer to New Jersey, New York, New York, or Las Vegas, Nevada? assuming they don't mean the hotel casino New York, New York, which is in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Right, right.
I'm going to go ahead and say New York, New York. It is New York, New York.
Nice.
That's the $200 question. I assume they get more difficult from there. Matt, you're up.
I'll try my magic for 200.
Let's see. What is Matt's magic wand? Hint, TSA loves leaving little notes on this.
It's true.
It's his penis.
The biggest mistake I've made in my career was not keeping every time they left a note on my...
Oh, yeah.
You could have kept all your notes for a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is my knife.
Yeah.
My knife.
Yeah, Matt's knife.
Stardust, if you're wondering, is the name of the knife.
You've named the knife?
Because it's David Bowie. This is a David Bowie knife.
Excellent.
So Ziggy Stardust, the knife.
Excellent. Like Paul, you're up.
Let's do 800 for 80s place. Their 90s PlayStation.
All right. This game was developed to emulate the appearance and performance of a large selection of vehicles, most of which are licensed reproductions of real-world automobiles. Since the franchise's debut in 1997, over 90 million units have been sold worldwide.
Gran Turismo.
Gran Turismo is correct. Mm-hmm. Yep. Don't think I've ever heard of that game.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's the watermark of driving and racing simulation.
I mean, it sounds amazing. I'm going extra points for 200, extra parts for 200. Being polydactyl means you have an extra of these.
Sexuality.
Well, I know a pterodactyl has wings, so I assume a polydactyl has extra wings.
Extra wings, just like extra. Buffalo Wild Wings, just like Wingstop. I'd like the polydactyl special.
Dactyl. Is that like dermis would be skin? Dactyl. I don't know.
No.
Oh. No. I guess I have to pass. I've passed the mat.
I don't know.
Paul, do you know this one?
I think it's fingers or toes. But I'm not sure. It might be fingers and or toes, but I'm going to pass because I'm not 100%.
All right. Fingers or toes.
Oh, there you go.
Just the answer. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. I got it right, but I didn't guess it. What a W.
Yep. Matt, you're up.
I guess I'll do my magic for 400.
Let's see. Instead of playing cards, these cards are used in Matt's act as well.
Baseball cards.
Baseball cards is correct.
Da-da-da-da.
Paul!
90s PlayStation for 600, please.
Players control Solid Snake, a soldier who infiltrates a nuclear weapons facility to neutralize the terrorist threat from Foxhound, a renegade special forces unit. Snake must liberate hostages and stop the terrorists from launching a nuclear strike.
A hind D. I'll go with Metal Gear Solid, please.
Metal Gear Solid is correct.
Snake.
I knew that sounded familiar, but all I could think of was Escape from L.A. and Escape from New York.
Yeah.
Well, that's where he got
Snake
his name.
Plissken.
That's where he got his name. Yeah, Hideo Kojima is a big action and movie buff in general. He's crazy.
Let's see. I'm going to steal one of Matt's magic for 600.
Oh, no.
My wife held Matt's t-shirt cannon at his show in New Albany, Indiana. This was version 4, I believe, of his
correct.
T-shirt cannon. What came out the end of the cannon when fired? I mean, a t-shirt. Do you want to know which t-shirt? Because it was a t-shirt that would ruin the end of Matt's trick if I said it out loud.
Was it a t-shirt?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, a t-shirt comes out of it. Unless it was a different routine then. I don't think it was, though. I think it was just a t-shirt. Yeah, so I'm going to say, well, it's Matt's t-shirt.
Bum, bum, bum.
See? Yeah.
Oh, you changed it to confetti?
I changed it to confetti.
I thought you had a t-shirt and confetti.
I load a t-shirt, but then it fires confetti.
Oh, it only fired confetti.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
look at that.
So I didn't have to chase a t-shirt across the
stage. Oh, fair enough. Matt,
he's
you're up.
Better for staging, Jacob.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You got fucking trapped, Jacob.
I did.
You got fucking scared.
Trapped.
I'll do my magic for 800.
Let's see. Daily Devil.
Hey.
What book does Matt have memorized when back to back with an audience member that is then revealed later to be not as it seems?
Sherlock Holmes.
Okay. It's Sherlock Holmes. That's it.
Nice.
Paul.
90s PlayStation for 400, please.
This game's plot is centered on the titular competition in which various drivers' modified vehicles must destroy the other vehicles in an attempt to be the last one alive. The winner meets the organizer of the competition, a mysterious man named Calypso.
Twisted Metal.
If I were going to change my name, I'd change it to Calypso.
Yeah.
Yeah. Calypso Smith. It's me. I will try. I'll go extra parts for 400. Average people have 32 of these. Having many more is called hypodontia. Dontia. Gotta be teeth.
Yeah.
Gotta be teeth.
That'd be $320.
$10 a piece.
All those. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good quick math there, Matt.
Thank you.
Ed, you're up.
I will. What's the first? What's the?
Yeah. Which is closer or extra parts?
Which is closer for 400?
Which is closer to Kentucky, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or Las Vegas, Nevada?
I'd say Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania is correct.
Gotta be.
Paul, what you want?
Extra parts for 600, please.
Most people have two, but studies variously report between as many as 1 in 18 and 1 in 40 have more of these. Kidneys?
Could be a lot of things. Could be feet.
Oh, yeah.
Could be hands. Could be. We're a dual system all around.
I bet
could
you're
be
right.
Eyes.
Yep.
Could be anything. But 1 in 18 and 1 in 40 have more of these. Could be genitalia. I'll have to pass because I have no idea.
It passes to me. Our friend in churn today, I'm going to go with his guess. I'm going to say nipples.
Nipples.
Oh, that's a good guess.
Good answer.
Yeah, it
good
is
answer.
Nipples.
Yes.
Well
nipples.
Done.
Nipples.
Nipples. Extra nipples. Krusty the Clown has an extra nipple.
I use the mummy method to tape back my extra nipple.
Good call. Good call.
Oh, I wouldn't.
I'm going to go extra parts for 800. Found more often in animals. Polycephaly is the condition of having more than one of these. A cephaly.
That's right. More than one cephaly.
More than one cephaly.
Polly
one
cephaly?
No, thank you. Quit calling me Polly. Polycephaly, more than one of these. Let's see. What do we only have one of? Head, neck.
Cephala.
Cephala.
I feel like I should know the root of cephala.
Let's see. A cephalopod has 1 foot. So polycephaly is a condition of having more than 1 foot.
Then we all have that.
Yes, we all have polycephaly. Man. Yeah, I don't know. I got to pass. Matt?
I have no idea.
Paul?
It is head.
It is head. It is head.
It is head.
Wow.
You were on the right
Matt.
Track.
Yeah, well, when I because, said head, I yeah, was on we, the right track when I
think
said
of,
head.
Like hydrocephaly, like having the... Water on the head.
Waterhead.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Matt, you're up. You got which is closer for 600 or 800? Is
what
there still
the
a daily
scores?
Double?
I think
there's still a daily double out there. Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Paul is winning with 2,800. Matt, you have 1,800. I have 600.
Okay.
So you need a daily double.
You can get a daily double here.
I'll do which is closer for 600.
Let's see. Which is closer to Louisiana, Pennsylvania, or New Jersey?
Oh, what a weird, what an interesting question.
Yeah.
That's close.
Because they're right next to each other. And so I guess Louisiana is a little more west, so I guess Pennsylvania would be technically closer.
I would.
Or does the dip of the bottom of Jersey?
Right.
Does like Cape May fuck you?
Yeah. If you're talking about bottom the whole, does dip.
Pennsylvania is a long ass state, man.
Why, thank you. I'll go with Pennsylvania.
Let's see. It's Pennsylvania.
It wasn't a daily double, though.
Your math was just right. No. Let's see. Which is closer for 800 for Paul Mattingly, closing out the category and the game? And it's a daily double.
Oh, my God. This is it.
So far, they've all been very easy, Paul.
For all the marbles. which is further from Las Vegas, Nevada, Madagascar, or South Africa?
Right, here we go.
Further.
Yep. Which is further from Las Vegas, Nevada?
Switch the measurement.
Madagascar or South Africa?
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Let's do your math out loud, Paul. What continent is Madagascar on?
I don't know. Is that that's on
what
Asia?
Continent is South Africa on?
On Africa.
Yep. Okay. So you got
Madagascar,
one of them.
Is Madagascar on Asia?
It might be. I'm not being coy. I'm saying it might be.
Right.
I'm embarrassed. I have no idea where Madagascar is.
Ann and I just blitzed through this new series on Netflix, like Unexplained or something like that. I can't remember what it's, but it's all like UFOs and weird stuff like that. And they talked about Lemuria, the Isle of Lemuria, the supposed. Yeah. And that name just comes from the fact that this guy found lemurs in between Africa and India being very similar. And they thought there might have been a land bridge that allowed lemurs to crisscross between Africa and India at some point in history. So that's where that name Lemuria came from.
Interesting.
A joke on lemurs. Madagascar always makes me think of lemurs.
Well, Paul, I can tell you this. Madagascar also on the continent of Africa.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Madagascar, it seems to be like this very far out place. So I'm just going to risk it for the biscuit and say Madagascar.
Let's see. It is Madagascar.
Woo!
It's an island off the coast of Africa. It's actually very close to South Africa.
Yeah, I was going to say they've got to be.
But I guess it's a little east of South Africa, so I guess that puts it a little closer to Las Vegas. Yeah. So there you go.
Madagascar, or it's farther away from Las Vegas.
Or farther away, sorry, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is the game. Paul wins with 5,600. Matt's in second with 2,400. I'm in third with 600. And that is from Hey Scoop, Get Off My Lawn. Thank you, Hey Scoop, Get Off My Lawn.
That was if a you great wanted one. To, thank you.
That was a fun one, yeah. Even though I got trapped by the stupid Matt magic question. Matt is back from the bathroom. Paul got Madagascar correct and is therefore the winner of Scooperty. Boo! You owe him all the money that he won on that Scooperty.
All right. How much for your teeth, Paul?
Yeah.
Only when I do it slowly.
If you want to send us a Scooperty or a Price is Straight Jock versus Nerd or an Obelisk Jock versus Nerd, head on over to HeyScoops.com right there on the homepage. You can click on a button. You can make any of those lovely Jock versus Nerds for us. Send them right on over. Also at HeyScoops.com, you can buy your tickets to Scoop Fest! Beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, May 9th, 10th, and 11th.
That's right.
Look at me learning the dates.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to be we're confirming a lot of things, but for the people out there who are wondering, we can say the basic schedule framing.
We can. In fact, I have it right here.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, the 8th, is the unofficial kickoff for Scoop Fest, and that is the Bucket Show. And that's going to be at the Majestic Repertory Theater in downtown Las Vegas. And it's going to be at 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. We're going to plan on doing two shows.
Yeah.
And if we don't have enough people show up for the second show, I guess we just won't do the second show. But we're planning on doing two shows. We're planning on doing a 7 o'clock and a 9 o'clock. And we've always had enough for two shows before, so I don't see why we wouldn't. Thursday the 9th, we have the barbecue that afternoon for people who are coming to the barbecue. That's going to be at 3 p.m. 7 p.m., the doors at the Orleans will open, and then we're off to the races from there. We'll have a show that night. Ooh, excuse me. We'll have a show that night, and then all kinds of other things will happen that evening as well. Friday, it'll start at 2 p.m. that day. It'll go till midnight. There will be some trivia battles there. There will be a variety show. There will be our coup of a show that we're putting on, the Fooler's Tour, live. Will happen on Friday evening as well. That'll happen at 9 o'clock Friday evening. Of course, the thing that everybody's asking about, when will the Mouth, Finger, Butthole tournament happen?
Yeah.
That will happen at 8 p.m. on Friday the 10th. Mm-hmm. Saturday, we start the day at 1 p.m. on Saturday. will kick off that day. Is that confirmed yet? Our kickoff event for Saturday?
Oh, yeah. I actually just spoke with Glenn Ally yesterday.
Oh, great. So we're kicking off that day with Penn Sunday School.
That's
so
right.
Penn Sunday School will start that day. There will be some more trivia that day between some other podcasts, including us. There will be an Ice Cream Social podcast that happens that day. And that evening, of course, will be the Jock versus Nerd Ball. It'll start at 8 p.m. and it'll run to midnight until they kick us out of the Orleans Hotel and Casino.
Costumes optional and encouraged.
Yes.
If you can make it about an ice, yes, but even better. But if you just simply have a kick-ass costume.
Yep.
Help yourself.
We've had people show up just as giant robots before, have nothing to do with ICS, but they were amazing costumes.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's funny, I did a guest appearance on Friday's CityCast Las Vegas.
That is funny.
And when I told them about the podcast trivia battles, they were like, we want in.
Oh!
And so I was like, I don't even know who to set them up to fight against.
I don't either.
But they
maybe themselves.
It. Yeah.
Maybe a city cast civil war.
Inter battle.
We could bring in another city cast from one of the other cities and make them fight each other.
Yeah, there you go.
We could Highlander all the city cast podcasts.
I would really, because I've done, you've done, we've all done an episode. We've done it.
I think so, yeah.
It'd be fun actually to do the host versus producers.
Oh, yeah, that would be.
That'd be very fun.
You know, we should, this is a production meeting kind of thing, but you should talk to Mikey, because Mikey has come to Vegas a lot over his life.
Yeah.
Like he knows some Vegas trivia. He could just straight up be a guest on their show.
Oh, for
sure. If that's something he'd be into and totally just
make sure they meet at, when they do the Sunday Fest.
Yeah.
All right, so we possibly, and if that happens, I mean, maybe Friday starts at 1 p.m. also.
Yeah, maybe.
At that event. But
lineup subject to change.
Lineup subject to change. No matter what, we have a break between 6 and 8 on both days.
Yes. Yeah, there's a dinner break between 6 and 8 p.m. on both days. You can go out, get some food, do all the stuff you want to do there.
Okay. So, yeah, we're still just getting, you know, making sure we have confirmation. A lot of people are in.
That's it.
But it's going to be a really awesome, it's going to be a really awesome event. I would say actually is that our Thursday night VIP event confirmed. Do we want to say that out loud?
Oh, let's say it then. Yeah.
All right. So, one of the events happening, it'll be multiple things happening on that, for our VIPs on that Thursday night at the Orleans. But one of which will be a concert by, Sarah Hester Ross.
Yes.
Going to do an extended concert. She was such a hit last year, opening the variety show, big friend of the show. I've seen her longer shows. They are fucking hysterical.
I have never seen her full-length show, so I'm just excited to see that.
Yeah. It's really funny, so I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be an awesome event.
That's great.
Go to scoopfest.com, get your tickets.
That's it.
If you want a discount on that, be a Patreon member and then get your discount code through Patreon. That'll save you some money.
It will.
And if you want to support us on Patreon, thank you. That would really help us out tremendously. It is the engine that keeps this show going 10 years strong. If you have in your heart and your wallet at least $2, please head on over to preachingfun.com.
Come visit preachingfun.com. It's better than hanging with your mom.
And if you're interested in coming to Scoop Fest just so you can buy people's teeth, head on over to fartsinabag.biz.
Farts. Fartsinabag.biz.
That is fartsinabag.biz. That, along with preachingfun.com, it does take you over to our Patreon page, where for as little as $2 a month, you can help keep this show on the air. You get all kinds of fun things. You get all kinds of goodies in the mail at certain levels. You get discount codes for things like Scoop Fest, and you get access to our secret RSS feed, where we have such things as Paul yelling at a television screen while Black Adam is on, and Matt, of course, talking about Fool Us and giving behind-the-scenes recaps on Fool Us. Every episode that drops, you just do a nice little recap on it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I do it along with Reddy Rich and RJ.
Of course.
It's fun to check out. so that's it, everybody. Take care of yourselves out there. We love you, and we'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Penn, for creating this podcast.
Thanks, Penn.
Thanks for coming out to Scoop Fest, Ben. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
As always, wonderful to have you.
Jackson Hunt.
See ya.
Bye.